This is Jacques Schiller, and welcome to Pet Chat, 1180 WFYL. So, how's everybody doing out there? We have a special guest today. I was on the internet and just searching around for guests for the Pet Chat show, and I found this fellow named Fred Levy. He's a professional pet photographer. And what he did was take photographs of black dogs with black backgrounds. And I was wondering why, and actually it looks beautiful. So I called him up, and he said he would love to be a guest. And so we have him today, Fred Levy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, our pleasure. So understand you were, I guess, walking your terrier, Toby, in a dog park and overheard a conversation about something called black dog syndrome, and it got you going. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a local park in the next town over from me that has this unofficial dog park time on Sundays. So a lot of people go there, and I used to go there all the time. And when I was there one day, and most people are just sort of standing around, letting their dogs run around, I was listening to a conversation that this one woman was having about how black dogs have a harder time getting adopted than other dogs. And I had never heard of that before. I've heard about it with cats. Cats definitely have, especially black cats, definitely have a hard time.
Right. Don't let a black cat cross your path.
Right. All those negative stereotypes about cats, which are completely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was having this conversation about how black dogs aren't getting adopted, and it just put a thought in my head about, you know, well, that's kind of interesting. I know part of that reason to me is that they don't photograph very well, because a lot of pet owners that I've talked to who have black dogs have all said to me how difficult it is for them to get a good picture.
Right.
So I thought, well, you know, I'm a pretty good photographer. Why don't I take a stab at doing something? And I was looking for a new project to work on anyway. The previous project I was working on was photographing dog parks. Mm-hmm. Not the best places to go, but the people and the stories and the interactions that happen there, because I think it's really interesting.
Learn about dogs.
Yeah. And so I went to... So I was thinking about how I wanted to work on my next project, and I wanted to do something that I could do in my studio. I can use studio light. I have a small studio at my house, and I could work it into my schedule. So I just put a call out on Facebook and said, hey, anybody with a black dog, I'm looking to do a new photo project. I want to photograph black dogs against a black background.
And you called it the Black Dog Project, actually, huh?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, from the very beginning.
And I guess they were, black dogs, I guess, were always considered more aggressive than other dogs, but that's not really anything to do with their coat, is it?
No, it has nothing to do with their coat or their size or their breed or anything like that. Black dogs have just often been given a bad rap, mm-hmm. whether through media such as being portrayed as bad dogs in movies, or often dark-colored dogs or black dogs.
Right.
Churchill thought that his depression, he called it his black dog.
Really?
Yeah. So oftentimes people are considering black dogs to be considered a negative stereotype, or have some sort of bad
vibe.
Yeah, some sort of negative connection to it.
Right. And this has been for years, I guess, huh?
Yes, for a very long time. You could look throughout throughout history of different stories that have been written, or different, like the Churchill thing being mm-hmm. used.
Right.
It's often been considered a negative stereotype.
Gotcha. What was the first dog that you photographed?
The first dog was a black German Shepherd. And we I found her through a friend of a friend online. She came in with her dog, and her son came, and is there anybody else there? No, I think it was just those two. And then, of course, it's at my house, so my two kids wanted to come downstairs and run around because we did it, like, after work one day.
Right.
And so it was kind of this crazy, chaotic event. But I set the lights. I knew kind of how I wanted the lights set up.
Right.
So that it would make the dog stand out from the background without making the background completely neutral, I guess.
Well, I was taken aback how clear a black dog against a black background is. And it was just amazing how you came about and how you accomplished this.
Thanks, yeah. It's about just making sure that I get the right amount of light on the coat of the dog, and there was really only within my studio, which is basically my basement,
right.
There's a very small footprint of space that I've lit to be for the dog. And when they step out of that space, then it just all goes black. But everything in that space stays well lit. So it was a matter of just getting the lighting right.
I see.
I actually use 3, sometimes 4 lights, depending on what I was doing and the type of dog.
Have you photographed a lot of different breeds, or just a few, or how do you select these dogs?
When I first started, I did have kind of an agenda of, like, okay, it had to be an all-black dog, couldn't have any color or modeling to it. Had to be, good in front of the camera, those kinds of things. I had these ideas that kind of fell apart as I kept going.
And they had to be cooperative, I would imagine.
Well, that's always a bonus. I didn't always get that.
Right.
But it is nice when they are being more cooperative.
Yeah, put them in shackles.
Well, no, it wouldn't
no,
that.
I know.
But some dogs didn't like the flashes going off because I'm using a strobe.
Oh, right, yeah.
One dog, I literally took 6 pictures, and the dog was like, get me out of here. I hate this. I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Right.
You all stink. Go away. So,
bad subject.
Beautiful subject, actually, which is the funny part, is actually 3 out of the 6 pictures actually came out pretty good.
Okay.
And the dog is going to be in the book, so I'm really excited that we did get at least one really nice photo out of those 6.
Okay. Well, now, you're from Maynard, Massachusetts, or you just live there now and you're from elsewhere?
I grew up in California. I lived in San Francisco before I moved out to Massachusetts to come to school out here.
Okay.
And then...
we have something in common. I'm from Los Angeles area, North Hollywood, California, and went to college in San Diego, and you're from Northern Cal.
Yep. Yeah, I like California, but San Francisco's great, but it is 60 and overcast right now.
Right.
And... it never really changes, so at least here in Massachusetts, I get to complain about different weather throughout the year.
Right. Well, I'm a reverse Horace Greeley candidate myself. He said, go west, young man, and I'm from California, and I'm living in Philadelphia now. So,
there you go.
Yeah. No, I like it. Great history on the East Coast. And we're going to, in just a couple minutes here, we're going to take a break, and I'd like to talk about your book. You said you have a book coming out. I believe it's in September, correct?
Correct.
I would like to talk about that and some of the subjects within the book. And you're a family man?
Yes.
And
I have 2 boys.
Oh, 2 boys. What are their ages?
5 and 7.
Oh, so you got little ones.
Yes.
And does your wife work out of the home also?
No, she's a teacher. She teaches elementary art.
Well, I mean, that's... teaching is tough.
Teaching is tough. And she has 600 students that she has to...
How does she have that many students?
She teaches art. So she has all the different grades, K-5, come through her art class.
Oh, wow.
So she has a wide variety of students that come through.
Is she a painter?
Yes. Her background is painting.
Okay.
She does watercolor and gouache paintings. They're beautiful.
Great. Well, that about wraps
That's
up.
That's another show.
Yeah. That's our first segment here on Pet Chat. Thanks for tuning in, 1180 WFYL. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education. And the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Pet Chat. This is Jacques Schiller. My company is Soap and Bean Pet Care. And we do the King of Prussia and surrounding areas. We cover all your pet needs when you're on vacation. We walk dogs. We take care of homes with their pets. I have a client that's going to Italy, and he's left me with his German Shepherd, a cat, two fish tanks. One is salt water, one is fresh water. Another little area which has a turtle. There's 3,000 bees outside because he's letting the bees do their honey bit. So it's an interesting thing for the next 20 days coming up. Anyway, we have a guest, Fred Levy. He's a professional pet photographer. We've been talking about black dog syndrome, and welcome back, Fred.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So let's talk about your book that's coming out in September.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. The book is called The Black Dogs Project, and you could even find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or some other online resource at this point.
Right.
But I'm really excited. The book will be coming out, and it's mostly my it's all of my photos of all these different dogs that I've been photographing over the last year and a half.
Okay.
And then most of the photos have stories that the dog owners have written about their dogs. So everything from, like, you know, how they adopted them to where they came from to what their dog means to their lives, things like that.
How it's changed their life, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. It's really great. I love my photos, and the people who had my pictures, who let me photograph their dogs, love the photos. But it's really nice kind of hearing their side of the story as well,
mm-hmm.
so that you can kind of get a much nicer feel about who these dogs are.
Right, and I understand part of the proceeds go to a rescue group in San Diego for labs.
Labrador and Friends.
Labrador and Friends, okay.
Yeah, they're the woman who runs the program there, she's doing all kinds of great outreach for all different dogs and cats. I think cats, but a lot of dogs that she helps find foster homes for and gets them into forever homes. And
right.
And a lot of people rely on her to help this large number of dogs that need help, mostly pulling them out of, like, kill shelters and things like that.
Right. Now, before we go into specific stories of certain dogs, where would someone find your photos on the Internet?
Well, you can find me at fredlevyart.com. There is all of my work there, plus the black dogs' photos are there. If you want to see just the photos from the series, I started a Tumblr website. It was actually one of the most viral Tumblr pages of 2014.
Wow.
Shocking to me. But it's caninenoir.tumblr.com.
Now,
black dog taken, so I went kind of French on it.
What's a Tumblr website?
A Tumblr website, it's well, let me just spell it out. Canine, caninenoir.tumblr.com. Tumblr is somewhere between a blog and social media. It's a nice sort of in-between type of website.
Okay.
People who have Tumblr sites often share other people's Tumblr sites, so people put up content and other people share it. Tumblr offers an easy access into making a blog that you can then share out your information, and other people will then share that information across.
No, that's nice. So two people and four people and eight people and 60, it just goes on and on and on.
Right. Yeah. There's about 25,000 followers on my Canine Noir site.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nice. And the nice thing also, instead of putting it on my website and having, A, I wouldn't have gotten that kind of following, and B, if that number of people actually all went to my website at once, they'd probably take it down.
I doubt that. But anyway, so tell me about Denver, one of the black labs.
Denver's amazing. Denver is actually a therapy dog. And I met Denver and Denver's owner about a year before this project, when Denver was just a puppy and I was doing like a a photo booth at a pet store.
Right.
And Denver was there as a puppy with all this craziness going on, and Denver just was as calm can be. And that's pretty amazing for a puppy.
And, right. Normally they're just jumping around like crazy.
Right. Yeah, they want the attention, they want to know what's going on, things like that. So, but Denver is just brings a sense of calm to any room that he walks into. He's a beautiful, fun dog to be around, and he just like makes everybody feel good.
Now you say he's a therapy dog, so he would go to hospitals and be part of the atmosphere for the patients, or what's a therapy dog?
That's something that a therapy dog does. He actually goes into classrooms more, dealing with young kids, either like elementary school kids or even like high school kids who, like, you know, they're stressing out because they've got some big tests coming up, or maybe they just have some, like, they're frustrated or wound up and they need something, a way to calm down. Therapy dogs are like Denver, goes into a place and spends time with a lot of different people.
Right.
There are some therapy dogs that are dedicated to an individual, and then that therapy dog will then, you know, support the specific needs of whatever that individual person has.
Would a dog like Denver be a permanent fixture in an elementary school? So when students come to school every day, Denver's walking around and he's there, or is it just for a period of time?
Denver's usually on call.
Okay.
For him. He's around some of the time, but not all the time.
Right. Understand that after the marathon bombing in Boston, for a time he spent at a firehouse.
Right. There's a firehouse that was right near the finish line, and after the bombing, he went, he was still really young, I think. He went to the fire station and hung out with the firemen and was able to take their mind off of everything that was going on, and it gave them something to sort of, some unconditional love.
Right, sure.
That, you know, that needed no kind of boundaries. You know, Denver just sits with the people and they get to pet him or play with him or you know, just hang out.
Sure, he didn't know he was a 90-pound gentle giant, in other words.
Right.
Cool. How about another dog?
Another dog that stands out in my mind is a dog named Bo. Bo is a blind dog. When he first came to me, he didn't have a home. He was being fostered by this other woman who was trying to help him out, but he was being bounced from foster home to foster home.
Right.
So this woman contacted me, and she brought in Bo, and we took some pictures. And Bo is fascinating because he's completely blind. His eyes were like, the cardiacs in his eyes had totally glazed over, so it looked like he had pearls in his eyes.
Was he born blind, or did he just become blind?
I think he became blind. Let me finish. So we're trying to take pictures, and he can't see a thing. He's literally walking into my light.
Right.
And so we're like, we're stamping on the floor so he knows, like, to get his attention. And he actually, every time the shutter click would go, he would hear it, and he would know that he would get another treat. So,
good.
So every time I take one shot, he would come either to me or to the handler who was taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
To get a treat, or he just sort of wander around. And he is amazing because he's totally blind. He has no idea. He doesn't have a home. He has no natural surroundings that he can be comfortable with.
Right.
But he's the happiest dog. He was just happy to be in that one moment, every moment.
So just a great disposition for a dispossessed dog.
Yes.
Wow.
A little while later, that woman couldn't take care of him anymore, and it ended up at the Boston Animal Rescue League. Ended up finding him his forever home, and I reached out to those people who who adopted Bo and actually re-photographed him now that he was actually in a home. They had to actually remove his eyes because the cataracts were putting so much pressure on his eyes that it was he was in a lot of discomfort. You know, he's still the same happy-go-lucky, everything's great dog. But now it's even better because he's in a home. All the furniture is exactly where it is, and it's never going to move. And he's going to, you know, live out his days under a roof with a family that really loves him.
And I know that furniture aspect in a home for a blind dog is important. I had a dog that developed cataracts, and we had a backyard, and we had a pool. And we set up on the corners of the pool chairs, so Chloe would always walk around and bump into the chair and realize it was there. And after a while, he never hit the chairs, and he figured out the dimensions of the pool and just worked around it. So it's important, I guess, if you're setting up that setting, not to move the furniture.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do another segment, and I'd like to, in this next segment, talk a little bit about Annabelle and anybody else, any other dog that comes to your mind. How's that sound?
Great.
Okay. This is Pet Chat, and we're AM 1180. WFYL, and we'll be back. So we'll talk to you. Well, actually, looks like we got one more minute, so I'll do a little talking here about my business. Again, Soap and Bean Pet Care in the King of Prussia area. Soap and Bean are two cats, Sophie and Jilly Bean. They're the president and vice president of Soap and Bean Pet Care. And we've been in business for a couple of years, and we're expanding, and we're professional because we are bonded, licensed, and insured. It's very important that you just don't hire a college person who works part-time. It's good to have a professional working for you. You know that if anything happens, nobody's going to get sued. So anyway, this Pet Chat, Jacques Schiller here, 1180 WFYL.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Pet Chat. This is Jacques Schiller. We're on AM 1180 WFYL. We are chatting with Fred Levy, a professional pet photographer, and we've been talking about various things, mainly Black Dog Syndrome. He has a book coming out in September called The Black Dog Project, and we've been talking about some of the dogs in the book. And why don't we pick it up from there, Fred?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Tell me about another dog in the book.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to think about. another one that pops into mind is Pawnee, who is one of the only puppies that are actually in the book. A friend of mine who has she has a Facebook page that ends up becoming very popular called Too Bad Dog.
Okay.
And when one of her dogs passed away, she ended up getting another dog as a puppy and named it Pawnee. And so she brought Pawnee to the studio, and we got this funniest photo of her just looking right at the camera with one of the ears was still floppy, where the other ear was sticking up like a German Shepherd would.
Sure.
And it's just the funniest thing because she's got this look in her face and just looking right at the camera and just super cute. She was really great, and it's funny because you can still kind of follow her along on her Facebook page.
Oh, she has her own Facebook page.
Well, she's part of the Too Bad Dogs.
Oh, okay, right.
So every once in a while on the Too Bad Dogs Facebook page, which she isn't as active on, but you can still follow what she's doing. So it's nice to see her as an adult.
How many photographs did you take of Pawnee before you got the photograph, or was it right away?
It wasn't right away. It's not like the first shot. It was pretty close, though, I think. On average, when I was doing a photo shoot, I would get somewhere between 30 to 75 shots, so depending on the dog and their disposition.
That many?
That's how many I would take within a shoot.
Okay.
In the beginning, it was much more like 30 shots. Or no, sorry. When it was beginning, it was more like on the higher end, like 70 shots. But as I got better at it and, you know, knew how the setup was and kind of knew how to work the dogs into position the way I needed to, I would be able to get down to maybe like 35 shots, and I'd still be able to get like the three or four pictures that I really like.
Is the reason, I had no idea it was that many. I was thinking in my head, you know, three or five, you know, shots to get the ideal one. But is it because...
It's hard to tell a dog to you know, dip their shoulder and turn their head to the right and, you know, give me that look.
And sit and
they
smile.
They don't quite look the same way. Right.
No, that makes sense. I mean, but I would have never imagined it would be 70 shots. But I guess it is what it is.
It's a digital process, so it's not like I have to worry about wasting film or anything like that.
Right.
It's a instant gratification in some respects from that point.
Right. Right. How about another dog from the book?
From the book, there's Stitch, which is a French bulldog, who is just super cute. Mm-hmm. I believe she's in the book. She was another sort of friend of a friend who was like, oh, yeah, you should have this dog come. And it was one of those things that sort of broke the rules because it's a French bulldog. It's mostly black, but it has, like, a white belly.
Right, right.
White tips on the paws. And I'm like, but you as an owner think of your dog as a black dog and well, it's just so darn cute.
Sure.
So I figured, you know, I have to at least take the pictures. And we got some really nice photos.
Great.
I photographed two different French bulldogs, and I got them to do almost the exact same pose on both of them, where they were sitting facing the camera, and they would just tilt their head to the right.
Twin poses.
Yes. It's pretty funny.
Well, I had a Labrador Retriever that was all black, and he had a white star on his chest, so... I know what you're talking about. How about the story of Annabelle?
Annabelle's interesting. Since the project's really gotten a lot of press, the first time it got a lot of press was through a Huffington Post article. And then more recently, there's been a bunch of different articles that have come out between like the Associated Press and some other local stuff. But Annabelle was one of those people who came to me like, hey, I have this rescue and she needs to find a good home and she has a horrible backstory about how she got left out in the all winter long in Massachusetts and as you know, we had a pretty bad winter this last year and
she just lost in the woods or
no, she was tied up outside. And the owners left them, and a neighbor was thinking they were taking care of Annabelle by feeding her, but didn't want to get the owners in trouble by calling pet services or like the animal shelters or anything like that.
Did she have a doghouse to go into, or
I don't think so. No.
My God.
It was a pretty bad scene, and so.
That's a dog with heart. And
yeah.
wherewithal.
And Annabelle, like, finally was rescued, and they're working on pressing charges, I think, against the original owner.
I tell you.
But they needed good photos so they can get Annabelle a good home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they contacted me and said, hey, you know, I'd really could use your help. Can I bring Annabelle over and we can get some good pictures? And I'm like, sure, of course. So I've been doing more of that. There's Annabelle. First one was Annabelle. And then there has been a couple more since then that I've been photographing.
The Annabelle portraits.
Yeah. There was a one-eyed dog. What's her name? Biddy Blinky, I think is what they called her.
Right.
Cutest little dog, but it only had one eye. And then, yeah, there's Annabelle. I'm just looking at the site.
Did Annabelle get adopted?
Within 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Two days of the photographs coming out, or what?
Yep. 2 days after, you know, and the power of social media, just putting it up on my Facebook page and on my Tumblr page, like I said, has 25,000 followers, and
right.
And every time I post something like that, at least 100 people are liking and sharing it. So, you know, as things spread around, there's two other dogs, Poppy and Tao, that are looking for homes that I photographed. A hilarious little bonded pair.
Right.
And then there's Dina is also looking for a foster home, or a forever home. She's in a foster home right now.
Right.
She's been there for 6 months. And has gotten all kinds of really great training from those people,
mm-hmm.
but they can't keep the dog. They want her to find a real forever home.
Right, right. Are they normally foster parents that bring these dogs to you, or half and half forever homes, and they just want to have them photographed, or how's that set up?
Well, for these type of things, that's sort of my, let's call it my charity work, right?
Right.
People who have foster dogs, either they're part of an organization like Big Fluffy Dog Rescue or some other rescue that doesn't have a location.
Right.
Like, you know, everything they do is through foster homes. So there's not like you go to the pound and you go and you look at the dogs. You have to kind of look at them online and go visit the people and then try to make a connection that way.
Right.
It's a little bit harder that way.
Gotcha.
Well, most of these people,
sorry to cut you off. We're about out of time here for this segment. And Fred Levy, a professional pet photographer, and thank you for all your time. And this is 1180 WFYL, and you're listening to Pet Chat.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
This is Jacques Schiller, and welcome back to Pet Chat. We want to thank our guest, Fred Levy, professional pet photographer, for coming in and chatting with us. You can see any of his artwork, his black-on-black dogs, if you look up www.fredlevy, and it's L-E-V-Y, art, fredlevyart.com. And you'll find all the photographs and his book, which comes out in September, The Black Dogs Project, is available and will be available on Amazon. And you could pre-order before September. Make sure you get your book on time. So we want to thank him for coming in and chatting with us. So this last segment, it's going to be Jacques Schiller talking. I've mentioned I have a pet care business, Soph and Bean Pet Care. And Soph and Bean, those are two of my cats. Sophie, she's 22 years old. She's been around the block, been dragged around the block. In fact, when we were living in Texas in Richardson, we had a house with big walls, and she'd scoot under the walls out in the alley at night. She was the inside-outside cat. And one night, apparently, she got run over by a car or a truck or something, and it drug her for a couple blocks. And we lost her. We looked everywhere for her. We didn't know that this had happened. And apparently, she had crawled back underneath the fence, under the deck, and was there for 3 days. In the meantime, we're looking for her, and all the neighbors know that Sophie's missing. So our pool man heard a meow sound underneath the deck and during the dam at work. So he went next door, and my neighbor was home. And my neighbor came over and heard Sophie under the deck and couldn't get her out. So he got his chainsaw and cut into my deck, which is okay under the circumstances, and pulled her out and took her to the vet. And the vet called me from work, and called me at work. And he said, "We have your cat. Would you like us to put her down?" And I said, "Absolutely not. What's the matter?" And he told me, he said, "Her jaw is broken. Her back is broken in several places. All of her paws are broken." And I said, "Well, can you mend her?" He says, "Yeah, we could mend her, but it's going to cost." And I said, "I don't care." So it ended up costing about $6,500. And she came back, and she looked like Frankenkitty. She had no hair on the back, and she had 38 stitches along her spine, and she had a rod put in. She had four casts, one for each paw. She had her jaw wired shut. We took an eyedropper, mixed milk, a little bit of food and water, and fed her seven times a day for 3 months till that wire came off of her jaw. Anyway, so she definitely used up several of her nine lives, but not all of them, since she's 22, and she's the mother hen of our Soph and Bean. Bean, Jilly Bean, she's our six-year-old. We got her down in Delaware at the SPCA. She had a brother, and it was Jack, so Jack and Jill, Jilly Bean, and we couldn't take them both. We just wanted one to be a company for Sophie, and we brought her home, and they're the best of pals now. They do jumping on each other, and mostly Jilly Bean is jumping on Sophie. But anyway, some of the dogs that I've had for Soph and Bean Pet Care, I've had some interesting ones. I had two big dogs. They were both 90 pounds. One was a German Shepherd, 1 year old, Balto, and Riley. And one was a German Shepherd, and one was a Husky. And I went to their home twice a day, put them in my SUV, and took them to the dog park. There's a new dog park in King of Prussia on Henderson. It's part of a facility that's owned by Franklin Maps, and they built themselves a car wash, automated car wash. It's really neat. Take your car through. Next to it is two glass rooms with glass doors, and you go in, and these are dog washing facilities. You put the dog in a big pen, and for $10, your hose will put on warm water with wash with the soap, rinse it, and it even has a blow dryer so you could blow dry them. So in the back behind the automated car wash is a dog park. And you would take the dogs in there, and Balto and Riley would just go at it. And they would run up and down and jump on each other and play bite. You know, they're just having fun. So those were two great dogs, and I did that for several weeks. Had two little pugs that I took care of, and these were dogs that I did overnights for. The folks that owned Andy and Baxter were going to the Caribbean, and so they wanted somebody to stay with their house, and mainly because these two pugs were too small to make it up on the bed where they slept in the master bedroom. So they needed somebody to stay at the house. So at night, I'd get there about 11 o'clock, stay till about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then do two jaunts during the day to let them out and to feed them. But during the nighttime, I'd put them up on the bed, and then we'd all go to sleep. And they would just sleep there with me all night long. Andy liked to lay right next to my head. And, you know, pugs. Anyway, a couple other dogs that I've taken care of, done several overnights for. One is named Zorro. He's a 120-pound Labrador Retriever. Big black. We've been talking about black dogs. He's a big black dog. Wonderful disposition. I had Zorro and his little corgi roommate, Pikachu, over the winter and would let them out. And they would just run around in the snow and they'd bite it, eat the snow. And they're just great, great dogs. Love to take care of them. So over the last couple of years, we've had several customers and some great friends that I've met. There was a dog up in Narberth, and this was a little poodle. And this poodle, Sheila, just loved walks in the snow and had her in the wintertime. And another little dog that was a Bichon Frise loved the water. I'd come over, and it was in summertime, last summer, and when I let her out, she would stand by the pool in the backyard and wait until I threw her toy into the pool. And she would jump in after the toy, put in her mouth, of course, and then swim back out, and then drop it at my feet. Well, one time we didn't notice there was already a toy in the pool, and so I threw the one toy, and she jumped in the pool, caught up with it, put it in her mouth, and noticed the other toy. So she swam over to the other toy. Now, her mouth is full. So she's pushing the other one with her nose. She pushes it all the way to the edge of the pool. Now, she doesn't know how to get it out, because if she drops one, she picks up the other one, and then, oh, what do I do now? So it was a little frustrating for her, but it was fun to watch, and I recorded it on video and gave her both of them, so she got out of there okay. Anyway, so had some various customers, Soap and Bean Pet Care. How we got into this... I retired from Comcast after 10 years with Comcast and 30 years in cable TV. I was doing contract law here in the last 10 years, working with MDUs. Those are multi-dwelling units, apartments, condominiums, hotels, motels, and putting Comcast on the property, not selling the individuals within the complexes, but doing what's called service agreements, easements with the owners and their lawyers, etc. Prior to working in Comcast, I was with Charter Cable in Dallas and in Los Angeles, where I'm from. I was working for Group W Cable, started with them back in 83 as a sales and marketing manager. So long, long time in cable TV. But when I retired, I was a little bit bored and wanted to do something that I loved, and I always loved pets. And so my wife, who's the marketing genius, she put together some ideas, and we did the website. If you want to look at www.soph-nbean-petcare.com, soaphandbeanpetcare.com, you'll... see some of my wife's ideas. She does all the blogs and writes stories, and they're in the view of the animal. So what the animal is thinking. So look forward to next week, and you listening to next episode of Pet Chat. And this is AM 1180 WFYL. And have a great weekend. Take care.